Happy Pride from Tomboy X, celebrating Pride and the queer community all year. Queer founded, queer run, and the makers of the original boxer briefs for women, creating sustainable size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies so you feel comfortable in your own skin. Tomboy X just dropped their Pride 24 collection, obsessively fit tested for all day comfort in sizes 3 extra small through 6X. Visit tomboyx.com.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hello, everybody. We just have a quick few announcements at the top of the show.
First of all, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
We wanted to remind you that there's a bunch of stuff going on in the extended Bechdel universe coming up soon, starting with our live tour that we are going to be doing this month. If you don't have your tickets, get your tickets. We're starting on January 22nd in San Francisco as a part of SF Sketchfest, and we are covering The Social Network.
Yes, and then we were scooting on over to New York City. We will be there for the Brooklyn Podcast Festival on January 24th. We will be at the Bell House and we are covering Black Swan.
And then finally, we'll be doing a stop in Philadelphia at our favorite Good Good Comedy Theater, doing The Sixth Sense on January 26th. So all tickets are live now. Go to bechdelcast.com and click on live appearances. Click on live. Also on that page, I'm going to be doing a separate tour of some stand-up, and I'm doing Boss Who Miss Girl in San Francisco, Philadelphia, and New York, the same exact cities. Imagine that.
Holy cow.
Those tickets will be there too.
So yes, go to bechdelcast.com and check out the, see you at our shows. And then Jamie, you had another thing you wanted to plug.
I have one last plug. So if you have been following me online for the past year or so, you will know that I have been in Mensa Brag.
Wow. I mean, it's no screenwriting degree.
It only costs $75. But I have been doing a project where I've been in Mensa, and then I accidentally got targeted by like an alt-right group. And it has been a whole adventure of about 18 months. And I just yesterday released a 4-part podcast series called My Year in Mensa that traces my wild experience, but also traces the history of IQ societies, which is not so great, but it was very interesting to me. And if you enjoy the Bechdel cast, I think you will enjoy it too. So check it out. It's My Year in Mensa on all the podcasting platforms except Stitcher for some reason. Sorry. And yeah, rate, review, subscribe. All episodes are out now, not making any more. So please listen.
Woo. And now enjoy the episode.
Woo.
On the Bechdel cast, the questions asked, if movies have women in them, are all their discussions just boyfriends and husbands, or do they have individualism? The patriarchy's effing vast, start changing it with the Bechdel cast.
Hello and welcome to the Bechdel cast. My name is Caitlin.
My name is Jamie. This is our podcast about the representation of women in movies. But today, oh, first of all, happy 2020.
Happy 2020.
Hopefully this isn't the worst year of our lives. I hope in advance this is not the worst year of your life. Today, we are deviating from the format a little bit. And we're going to be doing a Q&A episode. But hey, if this is your first time listening and you just want to know things about us in our show, even though you've never listened, we'll tell you what the podcast is.
Sure.
Yeah.
We talk about the representation of women in movies, and we use the Bechdel test, sometimes called
the Bechdel-Wallace test. Wow, we're so in sync.
Close. And that, of course, is a media metric developed by cartoonist Alison Bechdel that requires two female-identifying characters who have names talk to each other in a movie about something other than a man.
Yes.
So we're most starting there.
Don't pass it.
Yes.
But, you know, progress, oh, it's very slow.
It's slow.
But we're not talking about a movie today. We're talking about ourselves.
Yeah. So we're going to constantly be
taking up space.
Passing the Bechdel test unless Alfred, there's some questions about Alfred de Molina.
But I think a long time ago we decided that that does pass the Bechdel test. If two women are talking about Alfred de Molina, it passes.
It still passes.
If you haven't listened to the show, just don't listen to this episode. so we asked our Patreon subscribers mm-hmm. to get us a sick lineup of questions for this episode. By the way, roundabout plug for 2020. If you can't get enough Bechdel Cast, we do 2 bonus episodes a month on our Patreon, aka Matreon.
And if you want the privilege of being able to submit a question for a Q&A episode just
that
like this
one.
That
we never do.
Well, this is going to be the start of many or something. I don't know.
Oh my gosh, I don't think people would want that. But in any case, we're taking it from our loyal matrons. If you'd like to become a matron, it's patreon.com/Bechdelcast. If you don't, we will never know.
Hey, was it your New Year's resolution to become a matron of our Matreon? Well, it's not too late.
What?
Go to the website and sign up today.
But it's $5 a month if you're interested. There's a backlog of over 50 bonus episodes. Wow. So anyways, that's where the questions are coming from.
Yes.
Should we just jump into it?
I say we do.
All right.
Starting with this
one. Let's do first names.
Yeah, first names.
This comes from Linnea.
They ask, how did you two meet?
We met in Boston.
Mm-hmm. We met in Boston doing comedy.
I remember, maybe we've talked about this before. I don't. Maybe just on the Matreon. I don't remember. But I think the year would have been 2014 2013 maybe. Uh-huh. I had just started doing stand-up. I was 20. Mm-hmm. You were cool and doing, it was at that show in
Jamaica Plain,
Boston Comedy Chicks.
Yes.
And you were doing it. I was doing it. I was still very new to stand up. You were like established in the Boston scene. And you literally, because we were sitting at the same table, uh-huh. I think there was like free pizza. And I just didn't talk to anybody. I didn't know how to talk to anybody. But you talked to me and you were talking about your master's degree. You were like, yeah, I'm finishing grad school right now. I was like, wow.
Oh my gosh.
And
that sounds like me. But
that's classic.
Actually,
you.
That doesn't sound like me because I hate to bring up my master's degree. So
you were really breaking form by really talking about your master's degree.
Were you mistaking me for someone else? Because I don't think I would ever mention my master's degree in screenwriting from Boston University.
That was, maybe that's not the first time we met, but that's the first time I remember us having a conversation.
Yeah, same.
Yeah.
Well,
it was nice. And then you used to be in a sketch group at the theater that I worked at.
Yes. At Improv Boston.
Yes.
Yeah. We got to know each other a little better that way. And then I moved to LA, I think a year before you did.
Yes.
And then literally as soon as you moved here, I was like, do you want to do a podcast with me?
And like, okay.
And the rest is history.
And then we became very, very close doing the podcast you're listening to literally right now.
Indeed.
Here we are.
All right. Next question.
Oh, I love this one. Comes from Leon. Favorite Alfred Molina performance? Let me pull up his IMDb. I don't want to miss anything.
Sure. I have one off the top of my head, and it is his performance in the movie Chocolat.
I knew you were going to say that. He's really good in that.
He's really good in everything. Uh-huh. But in this movie, he plays a villain. Mm-hmm. He's a great villain. He's a great hero. He can do anything.
Yes.
He is doing a French accent. Just the scene where you get... if you haven't seen it, you got to see Chocolat.
Yeah, I got to see it. I mean... suspend your Johnny Depp hatred. We get it.
Yes.
But you should see it.
There's a scene where he's like very anti-chocolate throughout the whole movie. But which sounds silly.
It's a metaphor for pleasure. It's a metaphor for pleasure.
Yes. So there's a scene where he accidentally gets a little fleck of chocolate on his lips and he licks them and then he's just like goes into this like horny.
Does. When he eats the Krabby Patty.
Sure. I have not seen... Did you see there's a SpongeBob movie coming out?
Oh, yeah. I'm so excited.
Okay.
I love SpongeBob.
Anyway, so...
legend.
So Alfred Molina is, you know, just... He's horny. He's eating all the chocolate. And it's truly one of the best performances of any actor...
It's heaven.
...of all time.
He's so good. I think for me, the seminal performance will always be Spider-Man 2.
Okay.
Dr. Otto Octavius. I think the best... the best villain performance I've ever seen. Sexual awakening and all. But he's also, I rewatch his scene in, I don't rewatch Boogie Nights very often, but I rewatch his scene in Boogie Nights a lot. Like that famous, he's incredible in that scene. He's so good.
Yeah.
I also, he's been in so much. You saw Frozen 2. How was he in that?
His character is not on screen for very long, and it's just his voice.
Unbelievable. He was the only part of Vice that I liked. I'll say that.
Okay.
I like the upcoming Robot Chicken sketch that he's in that I wrote that will maybe come out this week. I don't know. Oh, I did like him in Monsters University.
Wait, he's in Monsters University?
Yes, he's one of the professors.
He does a lot of like Disney animation work then, because he's also in Ralph Breaks the Internet.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, he's first of all, got to get those checks. Mm-hmm. And he's directing his first movie this year, too. we love Alfred Molina at the cast. And also, this episode is going to come out on our 1 year anniversary of meeting Alfred Molina.
Really?
Yeah. Because I remember it's January 2nd, 2019. I'll never, ever, ever forget that day.
Oh my goodness. Such an important day.
And if you live in the LA area in February and March, he's going to be in a one man play in Pasadena. And I have tickets to opening night.
Obviously.
And then I think we're going to go in March when you come back.
Yes, when I come back. When I come back from New York, among other places that I will be on the East Coast.
Oh, but yeah, we're touring.
When soon. I'm in, yes, we're touring. So don't forget that.
We're
come to our tour.
Bechdelcast.com.
But when I'm in New York, I'm seeing a play called Paddington Gets in a Jam. It is for ages 3 to 8.
How has Alfred Molina not been in a Paddington movie yet?
I don't know.
It seems like a perfect match.
Because he's from Paddington.
If only just for us.
Yes.
He's from Paddington.
Yeah.
He's British.
Yeah.
He's got the right vibe.
He would be.
He could be a villain or a hero.
Yeah, true.
That's the best thing about him.
I know.
Oh, I love him so much. He's really good in Frida. We can stop talking about it. He's good in everything.
Yes.
He's good in literally everything.
He most certainly is.
I think, but you know what? Leon, to answer your question, our favorite Alfred Molina performance would have to be the Aaron Brockovich episode.
Yes.
Of the Bechdelcast. Really career maker, I think, for him. Do you think he would have been in Frozen 2 if he hadn't done that? Of course not.
No.
Thank you, Leon.
Yes, thank you.
That's the answer.
Next question comes from Judy. Asks, which film are you most surprised actually passed the test? Which episode do you think has the most outtakes due to tangents, laughing fits, etc.?
Ooh.
Okay, so two different questions here.
Tough. Movies, I feel like most movies I'm surprised pass the test are ones that barely pass the test.
Yeah.
Right. So like I feel like we should have a shorthand for it now, but like the almost, like the barely pass of like, hi, to use your name. Hi, Judy. Look at this shoe. Awesome.
Right.
And then the rest is men killing each other. Uh-huh. And so those are always like, it's frustrating.
Uh-huh.
I'm looking at our list of
I always remember episodes. Being surprised that The Room
passed. Oh, yes. That is a
The Bechdel test.
Uh-huh.
Believe it or not, gang, Tommy Wiseau's The Room passes the Bechdel test,
which is pretty amazing. Groundhog Day barely passes. I'm just looking through our Geely, that's one that passes the Bechdel test. That is shocking and inappropriate
right.
to have passed. What else do we have here that you're just like, that can't be right? Manhattan passes. Yikes. Yeah, there's a lot of problematic movies that pass the Bechdel test, which is, you know, we're always reminding it's a flawed metric.
Sure.
Yeah, no, I think The Room was a shocker.
Mm-hmm. Well, and then the second part of this question is, which episode do you think has the most outtakes due to tangents, laughing fits, etc.?
I don't know.
There was one.
There are some where we truly just like go to another dimension. And at the end, I'm like, I don't know what happened in that episode.
I wish I remembered what it was, because there was one that I had like a separate editing file open for that I had just, I kept putting outtakes into that I was going to like edit into like a supercut.
I mean, to pull
but
from,
I don't remember what it was.
To pull from a recent episode, the Santa Claus is one of the most wild recording experiences I've ever, I don't think we even cut that much from it.
We didn't.
Which is why it was 2.5 hours long. But like, it was, that I think was one of my favorite episodes to record, because it was just like, where are we?
Right.
What is happening? Where, like,
But we didn't cut that much, so that doesn't really answer the question. What do I feel like when stuff gets wild, unless it's like wild in a, oh my God, what is this person saying kind of way, which has very rarely happened, we just kind of leave it in.
Yeah. Yeah. So we haven't done,
back when we used to have more male guests on the show, there would be more cutting sometimes to make our male guest not yet hate mail. And which is why we have since enforced a very sparing, every once in a while honored male guest policy.
Indeed.
But I think especially since we put the kibosh on male guests for the most part,
we haven't had to do that many outtakes. Really hasn't
been. Yeah.
Next question comes from Taylor. Asks
someone,
when will you be gay?
I'm bi, which I did a soft come out this year in one tweet, but I also don't feel the need to explain myself.
Sure.
Yeah.
My sexuality, if anyone was curious, my birth control is making me asexual, so that's something. But but I'm gonna go off of it soon, and you might be asking, why can't you just like stop taking your pill or whatever? It's because it's an implant in my arm.
Yes.
And I have to get it surgically removed.
Healthcare flex.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess the answer to your question is. So I don't know. we're both like question marks all around.
Yeah, we don't know. We're somewhere on the spectrum, as everyone is.
I know I've said, I guess I have said on the show that I'm straight a number of times, which has never been true. But who cares? I don't know. It doesn't keep me up at night, nor should it you.
Sure. Yeah, I think here's an answer to your question. Because I feel absolutely no sexual feelings and have not for the past several years since I've been on this birth control. I don't really know who I'm attracted to anymore.
This is gonna be a fun year.
I think so. When I get new health insurance and can go to the doctor and get my thing taken out, I would definitely consider dating women.
Yeah.
So there's that.
I'm currently in a relationship with a man.
Boo! No, I'm kidding.
I know, but Isaac is very nice. So great, Isaac rules. So I guess Taylor, I hope that answers your question in part. Our next question comes from Katie. Mm-hmm. They ask, "Movies you're most looking forward to in 2020?" I don't know. I feel like I never know about a movie before 2 weeks before it comes out.
Sure.
What are you excited for?
I'm excited for Mulan.
Yes, the live action. I hope they don't fuck that up.
I know.
They fucked up literally all of them so far.
They truly have.
So fingers crossed.
Yeah.
It'd be great.
I'm excited for, what is even coming out?
Let me look it up. Okay, wait. 2020 movies. In spite of the fact that Scarlett Johansson is canceled, I am interested to see Black Widow.
Okay, sure.
The new Wonder Woman comes out next year. That'll be fun. The Harley Quinn movie, I guess, kind of. I'm getting a little burned out on Margot Robbie, TBH, even though she's in my favorite movie ever.
Mm-hmm.
Fast and Furious 9, apparently. Sure. Dr. Doolittle.
I'll see it.
Honestly, we should cover the Eddie Murphy one.
Oh, sure.
The return of TJ Miller. No, thank you.
Oh, you mean with Underwater?
Underwater, yeah. Hard pass. Stewart, how could you? Betrayal. Oh, you know what is a movie that I genuinely think will be funny to watch because it looks really, really bad?
What?
Harrison Ford, Call of the Wild.
Oh my gosh. Why?
Two movies I'll see, ironically, are Dr. Doolittle and Harrison Ford, Call of the Wild.
So a bunch of CGI animals? The only CGI...
I want to see wealthy men and CGI animals in 2020. Don't ask me why.
The movie with a CGI animal that you should watch is Paddington, obviously.
It looks so bad. Oh, Minions 3. Yes.
Scoob.
Gotta see Scoob. I don't know if next year's gonna be
if this is gonna be a good year for movies, honestly.
I will say 2019 I think was a pretty solid year for movies.
Yeah.
A lot of movies I really, really liked came out.
Yeah.
I guess In the Heights will be cool. I'm excited to see In the Heights.
Sure.
And I think West Side Story comes out next year too. That's 2021.
I know the new Into the Spider-Verse is coming out, but I think it's
2022.
Oh my god. Goodness.
I know. We'll be dead. but that doesn't come out until 2022. Sonic. I mean, honestly, it's a lot of bullshit coming out this year. I guess there's plenty of movies I'll see, but there's nothing like, I feel like going into 2019, there was a bunch that I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
But not so much so far. If you have recommendations,
drop us a line.
Please do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Next question comes from Allison, and they ask opinions/ideas on how to effectively combat reboot culture, which tends to perpetuate or trivialize regressive ideas regarding race, gender, sexuality, etc.
Combating it is difficult. I mean, it's just a very sinister cinematic. I think that if you are not about it, don't go. Like, that's a great way to combat it, is if you see it and you're unhappy with the way it's rebooting it, mm-hmm. make your thoughts known, because like movie production places for better or worse are listening to fans now more than ever.
Mm-hmm. Social media is a useful tool.
It literally ruined sometimes. Star Wars. It's crazy. but like, for better or worse, people are listening. Mm-hmm. And if you are unhappy with how a property is being rebooted, let yourself be known, or don't see the movie. There's right. a lot of recent reboots that have flopped because no one wanted it.
Yeah. Money speaks very loudly in all industries, this one included. And if something doesn't do well, but that sucks, because like, what you should do is put your money towards seeing movies
that you want to see.
But it's like, I don't want to tell you to say, like, don't go to this like all female reboot of XYZ movie, because what's going to happen, I think, is that executives are going to be like, well, no one went to see this. So that means that no one wants to see, you know, female driven stories. And it's not that. It's that we don't want to get like the sloppy seconds of what men want. Yeah, and I mean, stuff like that.
I think that a similar thing was brought up with, you're right, where like when the Charlie's Angels reboot wasn't a smashing success, mm-hmm. it was like, well, this is a reflection on women, where it's like, no, this is a reflection on reboots.
Right.
But it is true that whenever a property is rebooted and it's like an all-female reboot, or, you know, not every character is white this time, mm-hmm. if it's still sloppily written, and and a lot of times the behind the camera diversity efforts aren't done,
right,
it comes out it's tricky. Combating it is really challenging, and I think unfortunately kind of requires that you do a little homework on your own of like, okay, I don't want to see a reboot. What do I want to see? Who is someone whose work that I really like, who isn't getting the representation that they deserve, who isn't getting the work they deserve? And, you know, let people know. Like, it is, unfortunately, it's like your money speaks very loudly, and word of mouth online mm-hmm. speaks very loudly. So if there are people whose work you want to see more of, scream it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I don't know. I feel like in some ways we are trapped in reboot culture for a while.
Yeah.
Disney has literally taken over for 2019 they had 80% of box office receipts. It's an actual monopoly, and we live in hell.
Yeah.
But Baby Yoda, right? Kidding, didn't watch it.
But he's cute. Baby Yoda is very cute.
So monopolies are fine. I don't know. It's depressing, Allison. I don't know. Try, everyone, keep supporting artists that you like that are, you know, trying different things.
Yes. Let's take a quick break, and then we'll come right back to answer more questions.
Let's do it.
Happy Pride from Tomboy X. We just dropped our Pride 24 collection. Queer founded, queer run, and creating size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies. So you feel comfortable in your own skin. Visit TomboyX.com to shop.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
LASIK LASIK.com.
Have a ton of questions about LASIK? You're not alone. That's why we created LASIK.com, one place where you can go to find every answer to every question on your mind. Like, how much does LASIK cost? How long does recovery take? How do I find a doctor? If you've been thinking about LASIK, go to LASIK.com now. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
And we're back. Hope you enjoyed that commercial break.
Yeah.
Our next question comes, I love this one, Only for the Internet asks, what filmmaker should be legally barred from making any more movies?
Okay.
Well, let's start with softballs.
Like Woody Allen?
Duh.
Roman Polanski?
Duh. Now let's take it out of the criminal sphere.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Bay.
That was going to be my next one.
Michael Bay is a very obvious one.
Yeah.
Basically, any male director who has assaulted or disrespected women and continued to have a flourishing career shouldn't. Yeah, they're done.
Yeah, they're done.
If we're in charge, which we aren't, and we never will be, they're done. Bye bye. Michael Bay just made a Netflix movie, and I'm like,
yeah.
What was? I don't know. It was just a very. I'm like,
Ryan
no.
Reynolds. Is that who was in that?
Ryan Reynolds. I know. It's like Ryan Reynolds. Could you relax? You have enough money. What are you doing?
I would add. Is it the Farrelly brothers to that list?
Yes.
Who've made all those horribly problematic comedies in like the 90s and 2000s, and then Green Book.
Yeah, I think any white director that has written a white savior story and won an Oscar for it, bye bye.
Yeah,
done. Bye bye. Don't need that. And okay, my pie in the sky, which people always give me blowback for, but it's a sinister cinematic trend that I fucking hate, is men who directed broad, often offensive comedies of the 90s and 2000s, who are now experiencing a second renaissance, directing more serious movies where they're mostly copying Adam McKay. Adam McKay can continue working, as far as I'm concerned.
Yes.
Everyone copying Adam McKay, let's say Hangover Guy, let's say Bombshell Guy, sure, they're perfectly nice guy, although Todd Phillips does seem like a fucking dick, but I don't know about Mr. Bombshell, but he directed all the Austin Powers movies, and now he's like, I get to make the Me Too movie? No, you don't.
Right.
Bye-bye. You don't get to make that movie. So if we're going all the way radical feminism, yeah, if you directed Austin Powers, you don't get to make the Me Too movie.
Yeah.
You can make another movie that no one gets to see.
Right.
You can make them, like, make Austin Powers 500. Fine. So, I mean, it's just frustrating, and it's like less personal, I guess, but the specificity of that trend is weird to me, because the Farrelly brothers also fall into that trend.
Yes.
The specificity of that trend is weird, and it is just like, why do these white guys who have been bajillionaires for 20 years get this second renaissance when so many directors of color, so many female directors, so many queer directors are still waiting for their first opportunity at a mainstream movie?
Yeah.
Grow up.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Okay, next question. Should we just pick one or two of these?
Oh, Lindsay.
Yeah, we'll answer two of these. First one being, are there any previous Bechdelcast episodes that you think you got wrong and would change your ratings?
I can't think of anything specifically. I stand by all of my comments in the Matrix episode. but I think just in general, Caitlin, I'm curious to your thoughts too, but I mean, we started this podcast right after the election, which wasn't planned, but depressingly well-timed, which was over 3 years ago. And before, I don't know, like, I think that the discourse has kind of grown with our show, and we have learned a lot. And so I think especially in the first year of the podcast, especially maybe the first 6 months, and a lot of, like, I don't know. I mean, I just know that discourse-wise, I've grown a lot in the past 3 years. I've learned a lot. And
same.
Especially from just like talking to our guests and just seeking out the information more.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure, and I don't go back and listen to them, but I'm sure that, like, especially in the first 6 months of the show, there were some things that either we missed entirely that would be very obvious to us now, or we're just like, is that your take, Jamie? Is it? So
yeah,
we've been growing up.
Definitely. There's a few tropes too that I've learned about or noticed more since we started. Like, even for when we did the Force Awakens episode, that was after we had already been doing the podcast for
over a year. Yeah.
But I wasn't that tuned into like the Mary Sue trope at that point. Totally. And I think we didn't really discuss that on that episode about how, while it is nice for a Star Wars movie to have a female protagonist, I didn't really acknowledge that she falls into like that Mary Sue trope thing. So yeah, I think, yeah, it is mostly our earlier episodes. We've been learning along with everyone else. Yeah. So.
And a lot of times just like it's been a slow process of just like making sure that we are finding the right perspectives for the right episodes. Uh-huh. And yeah, like I think that there were early episodes where like if there was a queer storyline, we wouldn't always seek out the queer perspective on it and just kind of freeball it. And we know better now. I don't know.
Yeah, we've just definitely learned a lot. I mean, we always acknowledge when we have blind spots. And I think our blind spots were, I think we've narrowed them down a bit in the years of doing the podcast, but yeah. I think they were quite
vast.
They were bigger, at first. So, yeah.
This has been an educational experience for us.
Yeah.
And we are always learning. We're never the final word on anything, so.
Mm-hmm. Indeed.
Another question. Are there any movies that get requested all the time that you simply refuse to do? Caitlin, you said you had an answer for this.
Yes, I do. I never, ever, ever, ever want to do a movie directed by Ari Aster.
I know you say, I feel like we're going to end up having to do it though.
I'm sure we will. But after seeing,
well, that ties into another question that we got.
That's not even that I hate him as a filmmaker. It's just that his movies punish his audience. And I hate movies that I feel punished by for just watching them.
I don't mind movies that are punishing you on purpose sometimes. I don't like his movies very much. Which is a question that we got. We got, why didn't either of you like Midsommar? I couldn't stop thinking about it for weeks. Well, I didn't like Midsommar, but I did see it 3 times. So what does that say about me? It means I really thought about, do I like Midsommar? Uh-huh. I really thought about it. I was also under the influence of Will Poulter, who I had a real moment for him over the summer. Ari Aster is doing the 2019 thing that I don't like, where he is like, women are front and center in my movies, but I never have a female co-writer and all my female characters are written weird. Mm-hmm. Like, great. Why didn't you like Midsommar?
Horror movies just aren't really my genre, and his are so unsettling that I just feel awful after I've seen them. And I don't like movies that make me feel awful. I like romps. I like movies that make me feel good. So
I like horror movies and I like feeling awful. So that's not quite, but I didn't like, well, I think that movie more than any other I saw this year hit that trope on the head of like touting this female protagonist, but so many tropes are present where she is strictly defined by her trauma. There's just, it's just a lot of tropes that I feel like didn't really, that everyone got a pass on because they're like, it's a breakup movie. And I'm like, but I just, yeah, I didn't. I don't know. I love how his movies look.
They look good and he gets really good performances. I think he also tends to demonize mental illness quite a bit. He
definitely demonizes mental illness a lot. I mean, Hereditary is where that is. Mm-hmm. And the horror genre has done well in some instances, but in others have really sold people with mental illnesses, just completely sold them out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I just think that he has a lot of blind spots that he has maybe not been forthcoming with, and it's just like, it's okay to have blind spots, but you know, it's a process and seek out. It is frustrating to me that he has not had any female co-writers but only writes movies with female protagonists. Like, that is a glaring blind spot, and I think it comes up in both of his movies very clearly, and it sucks because I think he's a good director.
Yeah.
And I would encourage him to maybe get over himself a little bit. Also, if you've listened to an interview with him, oh boy.
I have not. I don't care.
Your
enough.
Eyes are, you're like, is this a freshman film seminar? Shut up. So that's 2 answers in 1.
Yeah. Great. Next question comes from Amber. Mm-hmm. Asks, can there be more people of color guests?
Answer?
Yes.
Yes.
We should do that.
Yes. More. We're always making an effort to make the show as inclusive as humanly possible. But obviously, yeah, they're like, we always.
There's always room for more.
And there will be. And if there's a specific person, comedian, writer, of color who you would love to see their perspective on the show, mm-hmm. let us know, and also tweet at them in case they don't know we exist and think that we're a fake podcast, which sometimes will happen.
Sure.
But yeah, yes. Point taken. There's always more work and more perspectives, and
yes,
we'll keep on getting them.
Yes, indeed. Thank you for the question.
Yes.
Next one.
Henry asks, if you could redo any of the movies you've already done, which would you do? Except Titanic and Doubt. Mean. I would redo. I mean, I think it's really just like some of our first episodes. I would redo. I think we should redo Kill Bill, possibly with Zach Sherwin again.
Oh, interesting.
Because I just know. First of all, we didn't even give ratings for that episode, apparently.
Yes, we didn't have the nipple scale yet.
And I just remember giving that movie so much credit that I would no longer give it now.
Right.
With the perspective of time, I think that I would redo Kill Bill.
I would redo Mad Max Fury Road because that has become truly one of my favorite movies of all time. And I watched this really good video essay series about it that brings up a lot of points that I don't think we discussed. And yeah, it was another early episode.
It's another early episode. Yeah, I would probably redo that one too and give it more credit, even though I still don't enjoy the genre. Oh,
yeah, that was steampunk. Yeah, right, the steampunk.
I mean, and I still don't like steampunk aesthetics, but I would give the characters more credit this time.
I actually might have us redo that one for a Matreon episode for my birthday month this year.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That'd be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, for the most part, you can definitely track our growth mm-hmm. throughout the episodes, but I wouldn't redo The Matrix, but that's for sure.
Oh, well.
Because okay. I've seen that movie.
We'll see what happens when my birthday month comes around.
Don't. I veto.
Oh, you veto that one?
I'm not going to do it.
All right. I'm going to do one by myself then.
No, you can't do one by yourself. That's cheating. Oh my God.
Okay.
We can do. Okay. Here's compromise.
Okay.
I'll do a sequel.
No, those are so bad.
But I won't watch the original. Okay. Okay. Wait. Next question. Our next questions come from Douglas. The first question is, are there any all-female reboots you'd actually want to see?
I
don't know. That it would have to be really, really good. I mean, I always err on the side of just let there be new stories in general, but new stories about women and people of color and queer people. The work of updating a story that at very least has internalized misogyny mm-hmm. to not have internalized misogyny, I feel like we've seen it a lot of times.
Yeah.
It has rarely worked in a really, really, really effective way, for me at least. I would much prefer to see new stories.
Right. And we might have touched on this even earlier in this episode already, but for me, the all-female reboot, it's like the industry's, they have this notion that, oh, no one's going to want to see a movie with a female protagonist unless it's already
like a
tried and true
yeah.
recognizable property, which is not true. I don't know why they think that.
And there's so many like proven box office things uh-huh. that are like, yeah, that's not true, but just there's not enough female executives.
I'll answer this question by saying that because this franchise is very problematic but also like near and dear to me, I would like to see a female reboot of Indiana Jones, and I want to play Indiana Jones.
Done. I'd see it.
Thank you.
I can't think of a property off the top of my head that I would want to see an all-female reboot of. There's like some extended universes I would like to see female stories inside of.
Oh, sure.
Maybe, but not a beat for beat. Yeah, just give me new stories. Give writers and directors a chance.
Yes.
Another question from Douglas. Quote, also, as movies hopefully become more inclusive, should we assume that any conversation about a trans man passes the test and that a passing conversation can be between any combination of female, trans male, and non-binary characters? Unquote. Interesting question.
Yes, this is a very interesting question.
I would imagine that the test should be on the gender you identify as.
I also think that there is space in the test to mm-hmm. be inclusive. I've seen versions of the Bechdel test that it's like not just female identifying characters. It's also like it's open to like femmes and like okay. non-binary characters, which I am totally for.
Right.
So if it's like two non-binary people talking about another non-binary person, mm-hmm. I would say that passes the Bechdel test.
I'd be really interested to hear Alison Bechdel's thoughts on that
sure.
too, just because like she's still a working writer, who's uh-huh. still like an activist. I mean, I would imagine that she would have the test be as inclusive as humanly possible.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we don't make the rules in terms of the text. We just choose the way we interpret it. And unfortunately, because there's not a lot of trans representation on screen, this is not really a question we've ever come up against in the movies that we've covered. Yeah, no, but I agree with you. I mean, the test should, and I think was designed to be as inclusive as possible.
Right. And it wasn't even designed for to actually be applied the way that we're applying it.
It's a comic strip.
It's from a comic and
Dykes to watch out for. Amazing collection.
Yep. And the context of like the scene that it appears in is two lesbian characters talking about this test, and they're saying, oh, I pay attention to see if women talk to each other in a movie, because if they're talking to each other but not about men, then I can sort of ship them together and pretend that they are queer women, because there's, especially at the time that this was written and then also still today, there was so little queer representation.
Yeah, I think that for now is kind of like a person to person, how do you interpret the test? For our purposes, we want to make it as inclusive as possible. And as you interpret it, I guess my thing is just like, as long as you're comfortable with the way that the test is treating gender in regards to you and your identity, you know, we're not going to tell you you're wrong.
Yeah.
So yeah, the test is open to interpretation, I think, supposed to be inclusive as possible.
Indeed.
Thank you, Douglas.
Yes, thank you.
Grace asks, is Robert Evans ever going to be a guest? Yes, at some point.
Yes.
The thing is, Robert doesn't live here anymore.
Yes.
So it's hard. We don't get to see him very often. But when the stars align, you know he's going to be on it. We've had email chains about it.
Right.
And it's like, are we going to ask him to talk about what he wants to talk about, which is guns? Or are we going to
also, if you don't know who Robert Evans is, he's the host of Behind the Bastards and...
Yes, a part of the iHeartRadio family
of
podcasts. A dear friend. Mm-hmm. If you haven't listened to his show, it's wonderful. Also, Worst Year Ever with Cody Johnston and Katie Stoll.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, we love Robert. We want to have him on the show. I was pushing for him to do the Hannah Montana movie.
Right, yes.
Which I still... If you want that episode, tweet at Robert, remind him. And then the next time we're in the same city, we'll make it happen.
Yes.
Yeah. But we haven't been avoiding it.
Right. It's going to happen. Yeah, he just doesn't live in LA anymore.
He just doesn't. And honestly, smart. Grace also asks, what are the most popular episodes / what are our favorite episodes? Popular episodes, I don't really know. Just a little peek behind the curtain. We really don't know much about our numbers, which...
We don't. For a very long time, the Twilight episode was our most popular.
I feel like Twilight and Spider-Man 2 were up there with the most popular episodes for some time. I have to imagine that is changed. I would imagine that Erin Brockovich is probably up there at this point.
My best guess is the more popular the movie, the more popular the episode, because we've done movies that are a little more, you know, off the beaten path, and those numbers were far lower, believe it or not. but yeah, I remember for the longest time,
It was Twilight. For a long time. I mean, I kind of still hope it's Twilight, but yeah, I would be curious to know, you know, beats us to answer your question. Favorite episodes. Love Actually is still going to be an all-time favorite for me.
Sure.
I think one of my favorite, a recent favorite would be the Santa Claus.
Oh,
I'm
trying
to think of like conversations that I really loved our Lion King episode with Naomi.
Oh, that was great.
I think that was a really good conversation.
I loved the also Black Panther episode with Naomi.
That's a classic.
I always am going to love the Snow White episode
with Jack. We were singing so much. that was really fun.
One of the funniest ones that we've done recently, I think, was Good Will Hunting with Ayo.
Yes, that was so funny. One of my favorite live episodes we've done is Waiting to Exhale with Aaron Haynes-Wack.
Oh, fun.
That was so much fun. Lacey episodes are always favorites.
Oh, Lacey Mosley.
And 10 Things I Hate About You.
The best.
Are always going to be. We have great guests and we always have fun. I don't know. Bring It On with Maggie is really fun.
Yes.
I love everyone. I love all of our guests. Yeah, I couldn't pick an all-time favorite, but those are the ones that jump to mind of like, yeah.
Yeah, same.
Yeah.
Let's take another quick break. Mm-hmm. But guess what, gang? We've got more questions when we come back.
We've got a few more questions.
Happy Pride from Tomboy X. Celebrating Pride and the queer community all year. Queer founded, queer run, and the makers of the original boxer briefs for women. creating sustainable size and gender-inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies so you feel comfortable in your own skin. Tomboy X just dropped their Pride 24 collection, obsessively fit-tested for all-day comfort in sizes 3 extra small through 6X. Visit TomboyX.com.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have a ton of questions about LASIK? You're not alone. That's why we created LASIK.com, one place where you can go to find every answer to every question on your mind. Like, how much does LASIK cost? How long does recovery take? How do I find a doctor? If you've been thinking about LASIK, go to LASIK.com now. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
And we're back. All right, next question comes from Stacy. This one is rather long. It says, how do you feel the evolution of feminism, specifically second and third wave, affected the portrayal of women in movies over the years, both positively and negatively, through both the advancement of women and inevitable backlash? For example, there does not seem to be a linear improvement in the portrayal of women or minorities in film and often seem to be steps taken backwards. How much of that is a type of protest by those in power trying to stop any change in the status quo or recapture the good old days?
Ooh, this is an excellent, complicated question.
Yes.
So I do agree that the portrayal of women in movies has progressed as time goes on, especially through various waves of feminism that have taken place. Mm-hmm. And I also agree that the majority of this progress has applied to the way that white women are, white hetero women are portrayed
in movies.
And that, as we've discussed in the show many times, that they tend to be the first stop of who is afforded progress, and that women of color and queer women and trans women and just everyone else kind of gets left behind, and the progress is much slower.
Yeah.
And again, like, that is, it's very frustrating because, you know, Hollywood is this huge bureaucracy, still majority patriarchy, still majority white. So you have to scream at the top of your lungs. You have to vote with your money. You have to, like, all this frustrating stuff just to get the bare minimum accomplished.
Yeah.
And I think, interestingly, we've kind of covered a bunch of movies that I think would fall into second wave feminism recently, where it was like, white women should be allowed to work in an office. That was part of what was,
like,
accomplished.
9 to 5.
9 to 5, First Wives Club. Uh-huh. And as the show has continued, we've tried to contextualize these a little better. Instead of, I think maybe 3 years ago, we would have been like, ugh, this is so lame.
This movie from 1970 is horrible to women.
Right. And we've gotten criticism for that and, like, fairly taken.
Yeah.
We've been trying to contextualize, okay, it doesn't read as a 2020 narrative, right? But oftentimes those movies do the smallest bit of progress that allow more progress to take place later. Obviously, we would prefer radical change.
Yeah.
But there are, I think we have covered movies that represent incremental change that doesn't read well today, but does represent progress for that time. If that
makes sense. Yes, I agree. Yeah. And as far as, like, kind of the backlash that more progressive movies have been exposed to, I'm thinking, like, all the backlash that the all-female reboot of Ghostbusters got. Every incel boy on the internet was like, this is ruining my childhood.
It's very revealing.
Yeah.
Like, if there are executives out there, studios and networks who are listening to these shitty, regressive people and their bad opinions, and they're like, well, you know, the incels didn't like this movie, so we better not make any more movies like it, then, I mean, I hope that doesn't happen, but
it's very frustrating who executives choose to take seriously and mm-hmm. who they don't.
Yeah.
It's weird because I feel like now with social media, in some ways we have more of a voice than ever mm-hmm. in having a say, but then so do shitty guys.
Right.
Like little baby boys have more of a voice than ever.
Ugh,
and you can see that reflected in some cinema trends.
Yes.
And it's, you know, as with all things internet, it is a blessing and a curse. Yeah. It's about context, I think, of how a movie reads now.
Right. And there's always, I mean, anytime there's any sort of progress made or social change and cultural evolution, there's definitely going to be backlash, and you just yes. have to power through it. You just have to keep fighting the good fight and not succumb to the regressive tendencies in the status quo, because they are harmful.
And I wanted to, I guess this is a good opportunity to shout out our older listeners of the show too. It's like I always, especially like, I mean, our main chance to interact is online, but also at live shows of mm-hmm. It is nice to see listeners who maybe were growing up during second, or we were growing up during third wave feminism mm-hmm. of like girl power.
Right.
But to see women who grew up during various waves of feminism just sharing their experience and talking about how, like, okay, I was a part of the second wave. Like, I've had conversations with listeners who are like, I was a part of the second wave feminist movement, but now I see that, you know, if you get stuck in a certain movement, then you're just denying yourself progress.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how we get TERFs.
Yeah.
Which is just like, yeah. So, yeah, we want to thank our older listeners who are keeping their minds open, and we promise to do the same.
Yes.
Thanks, Stacey.
Yes.
Let's close out with a couple of fun ones.
Yeah, yeah. Unfortunately, we won't have time to get to every question. We've had to skip some.
But we read them all.
We read them all, and we appreciate it.
There's only so much time.
Yes.
I wanted to take this quick question from Jack. Would you ever consider writing a Bechdelcast book? Yes. Someone should contact us.
Yeah.
but here's the tea, Jack. No one's asked. Ooh, here's a question from Michelle. When will you release an episode about Santa University? When someone asks me to make it.
Oh, right. Because we have to.
It has to exist first.
It must be produced. And then we will do the episode.
And then we have
sure.
to have a 5.5-hour episode. A few people have asked
who's our dream guest, mm-hmm. Even if it's not realistic, or maybe it is, who knows.
We got Alfred,
we can do anything.
We want to have Alison Bechdel, of course.
Yes, Alison Bechdel would be a dream guest, absolutely. Mm-hmm. People always ask us also if she knows about the show.
We don't know.
She,
if you know her, you should ask. I hope by now.
I would think by now she does.
I hope.
If anyone has any contacts out there and wants to hook it up to have her come on.
Yes.
We'd love to have her.
Also Liz Wallace, who is the other half of the Bechdel-Wallace test.
Indeed.
We would love
that
to
would
have
be
Liz on
great.
As well.
I would love Rashida Jones.
Fun.
I
would love to have Gloria Calderon-Kellett.
I'm not sure if I know who that is.
She is one of the only female Latinx showrunners working today. She's very online. She's very cool. And we follow each other on Twitter, and I'm always afraid to tweet at her.
Oh.
She's really cool. And she's the showrunner for One Day at a Time on Netflix.
Oh, cool.
And so I'd love to have her on.
For me, another one would be Laverne Cox, I think would be
great. I would love to have Jessica Williams.
Oh, yes.
I would love to have Jenny Nicholson. She's a YouTuber who I admire.
Ooh.
Also, Kat Black is one of my favorite YouTubers. Who else? I mean, just everyone.
Reese Witherspoon, Meryl Streep,
Yvette Nicole Brown.
Oh.
I'm trying to think of, like,
oh yeah,
Yvette Nicole Brown would be an amazing guest.
She's so funny.
she's so funny and she seems cool. I'm just picking people that I want to hang out with. Yeah, I don't know. There's so many people. Tweet at them and say, hey, have you heard of this? You should be on it.
Yes.
Especially if you know that they live in our area. We have a whole thing where we have to convince people we exist a lot. And so if you can be assist. Oh, anyone who was in A Christmas Prince.
Wow, I was not expecting you to say that, but I would agree 100%.
Welcome them.
Especially the two different actors who play her dad, Rudy.
New York!
It's a fucking New York!
Bernie Sanders can come on the podcast.
Oh, sure. Okay, let's do
two more.
This one's from Sarah. I'd love to know if you get any weird or funny reactions from people about the show.
You can't beat a male comment.
You can't.
Actually, I take that back. We have a lot of wonderful male identifying listeners who have open hearts and minds. We're not talking about them.
Yeah.
We're talking about the other ones. As I think early on, it's kind of tapered off.
Mm-hmm.
I think we've kind of found our audience.
Yes.
And people who, it's pretty clear what the show is about.
Right.
And if you hate us and what we're talking about and are listening, why are you torturing yourself, I guess? Like, no need to do that.
Yeah.
But we used to get some male comments.
Oh, sure.
Like one star.
Objectifies
men. Oh boy.
So that is a nice reminder to go on whatever podcast platform you use.
Oh yes, please.
And rate us.
Give us nice things.
Say nice things. Give us high ratings.
Please. Caitlin doesn't read our iTunes reviews, but I do because I hate myself. I don't know. But it's reading our one star ratings can be fun, but please don't write one. Here's our most recent iTunes. No, it's a nice one.
Oh, okay.
It's 5 stars. The subject line is pee erasure.
Oh, from Home Alone?
I guess so. I don't remember saying that, but someone said I literally spit out my coffee when someone said pee erasure during the Home Alone episode. Yeah. I guess that did I say that?
Yeah.
Yikes. Fun fact about me, I forget everything I say immediately after I say it.
A reaction that I still get quite a bit from people, and this is sometimes people who like know about the show, but people will be talking about a movie and they only want to know if it passed the Bechdel test or not. And I'm like,
oh my
God,
that's so funny. Yeah.
We spend 2 minutes maybe of every episode discussing the Bechdel test, and then the rest of it is everything else there is to talk about. But people still only seem to be concerned about whether or not the movie passes the Bechdel test. And I'm like, I barely care anymore. I truly almost don't care.
We sometimes forget to do it.
Yeah. I often forget to pay attention because it's just, I think with like the 3 years that we've been doing the show, 3+ years, we've had so many more interesting conversations and there's so many more important things to talk about.
It's a jumping off point. We've been saying it from the beginning, but we mean it now more than ever. It is funny. Yeah. Like when you, especially because it makes me so uncomfortable to like, I don't know. Like when you meet someone and they're like, what do you do? And then they're like, but what's it about? I'm like, I don't want to do this. Please just let me sit here. But like when you're like, oh, it's about the Bechdel test. And then someone's like, uh-huh. And then they're like, so you just figure out if it passes? I'm like, I'm not going to have sex with you. Like, please, please stop. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
But male comments and then people being like, should it take 2 hours to figure that out? I think we're stupid.
Right.
I don't know. People are wild.
Yeah. Everyone listening right now is great.
It's great. Unless you're in the middle of writing a one star. All right. Well,
One last question and very important thing.
I have
to
a very strong answer.
This comes from Chris. Can we start a team moist scabs for all the centrists out there?
No.
No, we can't?
No.
So
centrism, who are you, Joe Biden?
I don't like centrism, but on
but
the other
love
hand
team moist scab.
No, what I'm saying is that what if the scab thing is a spectrum and we're being too binary about it?
No.
Okay.
No.
Well, Jamie says no. I
no
say
moist
yes.
scabs.
I say yes to team
I say no
moist
scabs. It's team dry scabs is the answer. If you like moist scabs, you're Joe Biden. Sorry,
no,
centrism.
I
gotta go.
I think I'm leaning.
Pete Buttigieg.
Okay, so I've always been team wet scabs.
Yes, you have.
But maybe now because I'm No, because I'm very cool and smart. I like this team, Moist Scabs. This is the
One of those things where you create something and then it becomes out of your control and it's very uncomfortable. I think that's what I'm experiencing right now.
I understand.
Well, I am very hesitant about Moist Scabs. I'll try to keep an open mind, but I don't like thinking about it. Dry Scabs, Sound of Shuffling Cards, all the way.
All right, folks.
All right. We have to go because we have to go back to recording Matreon episodes.
Yes.
We hope you enjoyed this Q&A episode. Thank you for listening. Happy 2020. We will be back on your main feed next week with a normal episode with a guest and a movie and all that shit you know and love from us.
In the meantime, give us one of those 5-star reviews.
And join our Matreon.
And join the Matreon.
Patreon.com/Bechdelcast. Fun fact, we're about to, it's January, so we're doing, Janetflixuary?
Janetflixuary.
Janetflix. It's Janetflix month.
We should have waited till November and done Netflix November.
We couldn't wait. We simply couldn't. So this month on the Matreon, in addition to all of our 50 episodes we've already published, we're doing Someone Great on Netflix, and then we're about to do The Kissing Booth on Netflix. Yes. So if that's appealing to you, head on over.
Yeah, check it out.
You can check us out on all the social media places at Bechdelcast. Mm-hmm. You can shop some t-shirts if you want at tpublic.com/thebechdelcast. We have upcoming live shows in San Francisco, in Philadelphia, in New York.
Go to Bechdelcast.com.
Live shows. Yeah, we'll be back next week. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Happy Pride from Tomboy X, celebrating pride and the queer community all year. Queer founded, queer run, and the makers of the original boxer briefs for women, creating sustainable size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies so you feel comfortable in your own skin. Tomboy X just dropped their Pride 24 collection, obsessively fit tested for all day comfort in sizes 3 extra small through 6X. Visit TomboyX.com.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
You deserve a moment to yourself every single day. And a delicious bite of a Keebler Sandies can give you that comforting pause. Don't forget to pack the melt-in-your-mouth magic of a Keebler Sandies for a post-lunch pick-me-up. This magic is baked into simple shortbread cookies by Ernie and the Keebler Elves. So as life continues to fly by, make the most of your me moment. Take a pause and enjoy a Keebler Sandies.